A Christian musician fired from a Christian band for taking a moral, biblical view of homosexuality?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, with the exception of when I look in the mirror, I always feel young. I always think of myself as young. Even when I think of my age, about to be 58, I think of myself as young. I don't feel quite as young sitting here with someone who's been in a band for 8 years and he's only 23 years old and his wife is 20. But my guest today, Mike Reynolds, has an interesting story to tell. And it's one that is alarming. It's one that we've been warning about, this very kind of thing, for years and years and years. We're getting to the point now where Christians cannot even hold to Christian views in Christian settings without consequences. If you have heard about this story and want to call, if you have different perspective you want to weigh in on, the number to call is 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And my guest, Mike Reynolds, for 8 years, the guitarist in the band for today. Mike, thanks for joining us in the studio today.
Hey, it's good to be here.
All right, need you a little closer to the mic there.
All right.
All right, good. And Joey, you'll tell us how we sound. Okay, Mike, how long have you been playing guitar and into music?
Cool. I started playing guitar when I was about 9 years old.
9 years old. All right, hang on. I guess even though you were in a band that played loud stuff, you're still kind of soft-spoken, unless you're preaching. Okay, started playing guitar at nine, and then you were part of forming a band at the age of 15?
Yes.
And band was called For Today.
That's right.
All right. Now, my younger listeners will be familiar with this term. The older listeners may not, but what kind of Christian band was it? What was the music called?
Like a metal hardcore band?
Metal hardcore band. So loud?
Yes.
Okay. Did the vocals kind of scream out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
But you preach the gospel?
That's right.
All right. You can be honest about this. You don't have to be modest. How big did For Today get? How big is it today?
For Today is doing really well. I mean, even to this point, the tour that they're on right now is one of the bigger tours that they've ever done. And the next tour that they have going on is even bigger, where it's consistently been the biggest tours that they've ever done, you know, for tour after tour.
Really? So what kind of crowds have you performed in front of and preached the gospel to?
And it's a whole plethora of people, but it's majority, you know, it's between about, you know, 14-year-old kids, 15-year-old kids to about 25-year-old, you know, mm-hmm. men and women who are the, you know, generally the fans of metal and hardcore music. But it's, you know, it's, man, it's some of the most hurting kids in the country. And from our perspective, some of the most hurting kids in the country.
So you get lost kids, saved kids in the crowds.
Everybody, yep.
All kinds. So some come in just because they like the music, don't know the Lord at all. Others are Christian kids. It's an expression for them, but they're hurting also. I just want to play a clip so people get a view of your heart and what the band has stood for over the years. Here's Mike preaching to a lot of young people about what it means to follow Jesus.
Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? He says, unless you are willing to love me more, you cannot be my disciple. And this is what makes me sick, is that we have so far lowered the standard that it is all right to be called a Christian if you go to church on Sunday morning and if you go to a prayer meeting during the week. It is not Christian. This is the only thing that is Christian, is that you follow Jesus to the cross and you let your hands and your feet and your soul and your will and your desires be nailed to a cross.
All right, that's Mike preaching a message that is very much in keeping with the message he's preached for years and very much in keeping with what the band has stood for years and still stands for. And yet, when he just posted some comments from a biblical perspective about homosexuality, it started a firestorm that ended up with him basically having to leave the band. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. This is a real-life story going on. I talked to someone yesterday. We got a letter in. We get tons of letters, emails, and our staff responds. Some of them will get to me, but the vast majority, others will handle. I got one yesterday, and it was given to me. I need to see this. I actually called the person from the letter. It was a woman whose son had come out as gay and was having conflict with his mom and dad when he had a relational breakdown. He had been in counseling for a number of issues for a number of years. He called a social worker during an argument with his family, and the social worker came and took the kid out of the house because the parents were Christian and the kid was gay, and supposedly they were hate-filled, homophobic. They took him away. A week later, they were able to get the kid back, but they're still fighting the legal repercussions of this. You think that's not really happening? It's really happening. What we're about to talk with Mike Reynolds concerning is something that has really happened. If you have a question or comment, 866-348-7884. If you're a young person that listened to Four today, we're not bashing the band. We appreciate their heart for the Lord and their preaching of the gospel. We have some concerns about the way things happened, or to use young people's speech, the way they went down. Is that good?
That's good.
All right. So Mike, you played guitar for 8 years with the band. You preach with the band as well. And tell me about the message of some of your songs. That we've got a wide range of listeners, and some of the listeners are a little older, and we wouldn't want like 94-year-old grandma to fall out of her chair if we blasted some of the music. So we want to actually play music excerpts, but what, and I don't want to get all the calls either, but what was the message, not of all the songs, but consistent messages that you were preaching to these hurting young people?
That's awesome. The goal, the hope, was to be able to demonstrate, you know, the light of Jesus, just the wonder of what he's like, and the wonder of just how beautiful he really is, to bring about repentance from sin. So it was twofold, where we wanted to magnify Jesus and make him great, make him known and famous in all the nations of the earth. And with that, that it requires that when we see him, it requires something from us, which is repentance from sin, that we would turn away from the way that we were living. The same thing that had to happen in my life for me to follow him, and for the rest of the guys in the band, we had to turn away from the sin, because when we saw him, he was just too wonderful to stay in the old stuff.
And as you look out at the young people, you hear from them, you're part of this generation. Even though I'm in touch with young people in our ministry school, we have college age kids I'm around all the time. So this is your generation.
Absolutely.
Right? You are in between the age of my daughters and my grandkids, okay? Well, you see the effects of sin on this generation. If you're just going to paint a picture of the lostness, the pain, the hurt of this generation, paint a picture of young people, teenagers, young 20s around America today.
Okay. A lot of them are very hurting. I'd say the first thing that comes to my mind is that the people who are coming to these shows are some of the most hurting people that I've ever, you know, encountered, been around, talked with, or spoken with. But the thing that comes from that is there becomes a victim mentality where I'm so hurting, and I'm so hurting because of these things that have happened in my past. Well, yes, that's absolutely true. There are things that have happened to them in their past. But there's also an aspect of a sin nature that's going on where they are still people. They're still just human beings. And the what is inside of human beings, unredeemed human beings, is exactly what's going on. And it's just given permission just to run wild in the name of being victims.
All right, now I want to address what happened with the homosexuality issue and the consequences and sponsors that dropped in all this, because it's shocking. But I just want to take one more moment and talk about this. Young people cutting themselves.
Yeah.
How common is that?
Incredibly. Incredibly common.
So would you say the kids you've talked to, it's more common than not? In other words, if there are going to be 10 kids in this room, 18 years old, that the majority at some point in their teen years have cut themselves?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, even 7 out of the 10 have at least, you know, done it before. And, you know, maybe half of them would even, you know, actively at some point or another do that.
All right. And why? What? I mean, it's a strange thing to an older culture. I did crazy things and drugs and drinking and wild living. But the idea of intentionally hurting yourself, cutting yourself, why are they doing this?
you know, I can remember when I was in high school, I had a pretty serious drinking problem. I ended up going to a drug rehab, an outpatient thing for about 2 years, an inpatient drug rehab for about a month. And I can remember being so, so angry just over, you know, it really was. I mean, we could all, it could all come back from even my childhood when I was about 9 years old. I was molested by a neighbor man, caused all sorts of emotional problems. And then when I was about, you know, 12 years old, it kind of clicked what had actually happened to me. And the same thing took over, this victim mentality of, you know, the world has done me wrong. And so basically in turn, what ended up happening is that I began to take out my anger against myself, where I just became incredibly self-destructive. I can remember punching holes in, you know, in the plaster walls at my parents' house and breaking doors and putting, you know, even stuff as, you know, as crazy as just knocking out random car windows, you know, punching out car windows when I'd walk by, just because there was so much rage and anger at one, you know, to some degree at myself, because I felt like I had, you know, failed, you know, in some way or another. And then at the world, you know, I was just angry at the whole system of things that when I looked at it and saw how evil and dark it was, it just made me angry, and there didn't seem to be any hope to it. So I would lash out at myself even.
Right. So the whole rage against the machine thing, just take it out on yourself. What about the fact that the emotional pain is so bad that the way to get away from that is to cut yourself and be distracted by physical pain?
Yeah, just to be self, and it kind of justifies it. It actually kind of feeds as a justification of things that you begin to try and pay your own debt. You begin to try and punish yourself for the things that are wrong with the world.
So you have this understanding, the other band members do, you can really reach out to people. The sound of the music draws them in. The message is used to point to Jesus. So now it's inauguration time. Reverend Louis Giglio, that would be known to many young people because of his passion, worship conferences and meetings. He's involved in fighting against human trafficking. Because of that, he gets invited by the president to pray at the inauguration. It's discovered by some radical left-wing organization that 15, 20 years ago, he preached one message about homosexual practice, gave a biblical, compassionate view. Because of that, there's an outcry. He's basically disinvited. He steps back, but the White House administration makes it clear they want him out. And as Southern Baptist leader Al Mohler said, it's the new McCarthyism, you know, generation before mine. You know, have you ever been, are you affiliated with communism? So this, have you ever been, do you ever disagree with homosexual practice? It's the new McCarthyism. So it's extraordinary that this actually happens. And then, of course, you have a gay affirming, by which I don't mean someone who loves gay people, that's not the issue, but affirming homosexuality, homosexual practice, same-sex so-called marriage. That clergyman replaces him. Our president uses the inaugural speech as a platform to push his views forward. So it's a very important issue. I wrote an article that's getting a lot of circulation, my response to the president, where we draw a line in the sand at the end. When I was in California last week, one of our supporters came up to me and said, Dr. Brown, I printed that article up because the company I work with, some engineering company, said we're getting so hit with this diversity stuff and how we have to think and act, etc. He said, I printed this up for other Christians to circulate it. And we all said, we're drawing a line in the sand. We're not going to compromise our convictions. So you in that spirit, but not confrontationally, just expressing, again, what I and many others have expressed, you put out a few short messages on Twitter. So they only allow a certain amount of characters. So it's a few short messages which basically make up a paragraph, which in effect just retell what you said. Now remember, we don't hear tone of voice when we post, right? So someone could read it one way or another. But let's just hear exactly what you said. If you got the actual text, go ahead.
Cool, awesome. It was in response to the Louis Giglio ordeal, actually, and the context was that there is a state church. And this is what I said. I said, there is a state church being formed. There's going to be an exclusive acceptance of preachers who advocate the LGBT. And then I posted a link to the Dallas Voice article about Louis Giglio.
Mm-hmm.
I continued, I said, don't be deceived. Homosexuality is a sin. This sin, with all other sins, is what Jesus died for. He conquered so that we would be free. No such thing as a gay Christian, the same as there's no such thing as a Christian who loves his sin. Don't be fooled by the formation of a state church as though the government is being converted. They only use the name of Jesus for their progressive liberal agenda. If you are a Christian, then separate yourself from this civil religion that advocates sin. Stay true to God.
Got it. All right. Now, I could see that people could say, what do you mean by state church, right? They could say, what do you mean by homosexuality is a sin? Do you mean if I have an attraction, it's a sin? Do you mean if I do it, it's a sin? I could see questions. I mean, you say I can't be a gay Christian. Well, what if I'm attracted to other men, but I don't act on it? I could see questions for clarification, but what you basically said is just the simple truth. So you would say, okay, this is a hardcore band. This is a band that fearlessly preaches Jesus, that's known for its message of repentance and turn from sin, and you can't follow Jesus unless you go the way of the cross. Here, a long-term member, founding member of the band together for 8 years, posts something which you would think would be fully accepted by the band. It creates a firestorm. Firestorm of controversy to the point that sponsors start dropping the band. Stay tuned.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. Look, friends, for years I've said it, that the gay activist agenda, this is not the gay neighbor or lesbian neighbor next door. We're talking about gay activist agenda. Those who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet, meaning they want voices of opposition, voices of disagreement silenced. It's not even a matter of live and let live. It's a matter of you accept and celebrate who we are, what we stand for, redefining marriage, re-educating your children, on and on, changing what the Bible says. You accept that, you celebrate that, or we want you silenced. You won't pray at presidential inauguration. You won't be able to express your views in the marketplace without consequences. That's what we've come to. If you don't believe me still, stay tuned. 866-348-7884. My guest, Mike Reynolds, who for 8 years was a guitar player in what would be called a heavy metal Christian band for young people, was with them from the ages of 15 to 23. All right, so Mike, you post your comments, which, in light of what the Bible says, in light of what's happening in society, in light of the outrageous attack on freedom of religion, speech, and conscience through gay activism, we're overall fairly benign. And immediately now, things start to spread. What happens first just among kids and followers and fans? What happens?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, somebody had basically read what I posted and then sent it to like a music press website of some sort. And from there, it just began to recirculate and just, you know, get hit after hit where people saw it and then would, you know, would just basically just respond to it. I actually didn't get to see the initial, you know, explosion of it happening. But about 3 or 4 hours after I posted it, one of my friends texted me and said, "That went well." And I said, I didn't understand what he was talking about because it wasn't anything out of the ordinary of what I have posted before. So I began to kind of investigate a little bit, and it was me and my wife and my parents were actually at an antique store, and I began to investigate, and then I got a phone call from the band manager, and he was just advising me that I should delete what I had said. And I just told him, I said, "Well, I don't know exactly what's going on, but as of right now, unless somebody that I'm accountable to, you know, spiritually, someone who's an authority over me, unless they say absolutely I need to go and delete that, as for right now, I'm not going to delete anything." Just went and re-examined everything that I had said, prayed for a little bit, and called one of my friends and just asked. And then I began, you know, just talk to him just to get some godly counsel, and then began to just kind of search around a little bit and kind of figure out what was going on the internet.
All right, so at this point now, things start spreading.
Yes.
Right? Because you cannot take issue with homosexual practice without there being consequences, even as part of a Christian band known for preaching a strong repentance message for everybody. We don't discriminate. We preach repentance to everybody the same way.
That's right.
And if someone says, "Look, I've had violent tendencies since the day I was born. I've always wanted to hurt people." Hey, we'd say we're all born in sin. Everybody's messed up one way. That doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. Jesus died to set you free. Okay.
That's right.
So the things start to spread now. People start objecting. Word gets out. Now, you had some sponsors, business sponsors. What happens with them, and how quickly does this happen?
I believe it was the same day that things were posted, Monster Energy Drinks decided to drop the band, and then there was...
All right, so Monster Energy Drinks, this was one of your sponsors.
Yep.
Okay, did they call and say, let's have a discussion about this, can we understand what's going on?
Not to my understanding, but...
So within a day, they drop you for saying that, according to the Bible, homosexual practice or homosexuality is sin. Okay, what else happens? What other repercussions?
Well, there was that. There was the there was our booking agency in Europe, and as well as a merchandise company in Europe, and I'm not sure about any others. Those are just the ones I heard of initially.
But what did those others do? The booking agency.
The booking agency would basically cover European booking, so that when the band would go to Europe, they would cover, you know, what venues we're going to, what the deal is, you know, the.
Okay, and then a merchandising company.
And then they would print our merch in
all right.
Europe.
They dropped you.
Yep.
Immediately.
Yeah, I believe it was the same day.
The same. Okay. And then the band now feels the need to issue a formal statement and asked you not. And then after that, then you posted a detailed clarification.
Yes.
All right. Since you have the statement from the band, these are brothers and friends of yours you've worked with for years. What was their official statement?
Cool. I actually don't have their official statement in front of me, but it was just along the lines. It said, you know, Mike Reynolds is no longer a part of Four Today. Him and his wife are going to basically continue in a direction they were already planning on going into, which was Bible college and then missions in the Middle East.
All right, so you had been thinking that come the summer you were making a transition anyway.
Yes.
But immediately a statement was issued that you're out?
Yes.
Is that how you found out about it?
No, we had talked about it, and I had talked to the guys in the band and basically just explained that I was willing to walk away, you know, even just now, you know, just on a, like, I'll do this today. We'd already planned on it. The slight inconvenience, you know, is not going on the next couple of tours.
But basically, though, okay, so they want everyone to know, though, that the guy who posted these horrific, hateful, bigoted, homophobic comments is not part of our band.
Yes.
Why did they need to do that?
That I'm not sure of, to be honest. And we had, you know, in my conversations with them as well, I've just been clear with them that I didn't agree with the way that it was handled because of perception, because there's so many young Christian kids who look up to the band and respect the band because the band has been fearless. The band has been unashamed of preaching the gospel. So I talked to them and just said, this is what it looks like. Now, regardless of what the motive or the intention was, which I believe was pure, this is what it looks like. And it doesn't look good.
All right. That's a bit of an understatement. It doesn't look good. Look, friends, even Louis Giglio, when this sermon from 15, 20 years back comes up, he first says, look, this is not characteristic of my message. Now, on the one hand, he was saying, hey, don't associate me with some guy that preaches and teaches this day and night. Obviously, if you got to find one message over 15 years ago, this is not my major theme. But even the fact that he felt the need to explain that, as opposed to say, yeah, I hope you all listen to it. It's a great message. It's full of love. It's full of truth. If the band said, listen, we absolutely, and I don't know why they did what they did, and I know they're, as you said, they're preaching Jesus today, they were preaching Jesus yesterday, but if they said, great statement, Mike, we agree, but there's a lot of controversy, save it for another day, because Mike is actually moving on, but we affirm what he said, that's not how it came down. Friends, that is the environment in which we find ourselves today. I want to help equip you. I sent a note to our order department. I said, let's do something crazy today. And because I've got a guest whose main vocabulary is formed around the words cool and awesome, this is a cool and awesome and crazy offer. I have a series, Can You Be Gay and Christian? It's 5 DVDs, each 2 hours. It's a great equipping, eye-opening, biblically-based lecture series. It's only $60, plus my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, with postage added in for those resources, over $90. Today, $40 postage paid, so that's well under half price. The DVD series and the book. You'll never get a better offer on it. 1-800-278-9978. Call right now. It's not online. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. 1-800-278-9978. 9978. Will you stand up for what's right, or will you bow down to the pressure of the hour?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. My special guest, Mike Reynolds. If you're a younger person, if you know the band For Today, then you know him well. 866-34-TRUTH. If you're an older person, you may not know the band For Today, but they have been a respected major band among young people with a very intense musical sound, but a more intense message, known for being unashamed, uncompromising, preaching against sin, calling people to repent, but all based on the fact that young people are hurting and broken and need Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH. So Mike posted comments after Pastor Louis Giglio was basically disinvited from praying at the president's inauguration because 15 plus years ago, he preached a message giving a biblical perspective on homosexuality. Again, we are increasingly coming to the point where you are not allowed to even air your views or have a dissenting viewpoint. Otherwise, you will be branded a hate-filled, homophobic bigot. Mike posted some comments on Twitter and then on Facebook, expanded to explain, yeah, you can't hear tone of voice and what's put out, but it, just the next day made clear where he stands, what he was saying, what his points were. But it brought about a separation, an immediate separation from the band that had been planned for totally different reasons because of calling on his life to have happened months later. Firestorm of criticism, controversy, and sponsors dropping him within a day. Mike, it would be one thing if you made some outlandish comment, if you did one of the things that the Fred Phelps, Westboro Baptist Church folks do, you know, one of their abominable God hates fag stuff, if you did something like that, if you expressed hatred, if you even just quoted a verse and then used it as a platform to preach in an angry way. But you were responding to bigotry and discrimination on the part of the United States government, the White House. You were exposing that. And you were saying what you said about 1,000 other things, that you cannot follow Jesus and embrace your sin at the same time. Mike, what if someone comes to you and says, I love Jesus, I'm attracted to the same sex, I know it's sin, I don't act on it, I don't go there with my thought life, I'm living a holy life, I haven't changed, I haven't become heterosexual, I love Jesus, can I be part of the family of God? What would you tell that person?
I'd say, praise God, yes. That, you know, one of the first young women, actually, that I remember leading to the Lord was a girl who had struggled with bisexuality, and she surrendered her life to God, and that is the requirement. The requirement is surrender, not just for homosexual people, but also for heterosexual people. That it's the requirement is a total surrender and a laying down of everything that was before to follow Jesus. There's lots of things in my life, you know, from experience and also in the Word of God, where these things, those appetites, those desires that are developed even at a young age that may not be, you know, sanctified, may not be holy desires, those things can get worked out in time. So the issue is not whether somebody has ever struggled with it before, or even if sometimes they have the desire that they could not be, but they could not love their sin or embrace their sin or identify themselves with that sin.
Right. So when someone says, I'm a gay Christian, I have the series we're offering, Can You Be Gay and Christian? I said, it depends on how you mean it. If you mean I'm same-sex attracted, I know it's wrong, I don't act on it, if God doesn't change me, then I have to be celibate, I don't go there, you know, I don't justify it, I don't celebrate homosexuality, well, that person is a champion that we should all stand with and stand around and say, hey, we love you, we want to help you.
Praise God.
You've got unique struggles. If they mean by I'm a gay Christian, I affirm homosexuality, I believe God made me this way and it's fine, and I am practicing homosexuality, whether it's monogamous, long-term, committed relations with someone of the same sex, no, you cannot be gay and Christian any more than you can be a Christian adulterer or a Christian fornicator. The two don't mix. That's what you're addressing. I want to talk about some of the posts, some of the responses you got from young people who call themselves Christian when we come back.
Yeah. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you, friends, for joining us, or should I say it's cool and awesome to have you joining us. Or is it, are things still groovy, or is groovy out?
No, yeah, it's still groovy, man. It's
things
good.
Still, you owe that. You owe that to my generation, just to mention that. You know, there's a saying that you can affirm, but you don't understand, which is if you remember the 60s, you weren't there. That's see, you tell it to a bunch of older people, they all nod and laugh. The younger people are like, okay, cool, awesome. All right, 866-348-7884. I'm having fun with my guest, Mike Reynolds. But the issues are so serious today that there is a pastor in Florida. After President Obama last year made his statements that he's now changed his views about same-sex so-called marriage and affirmed it, and to me, he hadn't changed his views because he was on record of saying that long before he was elected, that he had that view. In any case, a pastor in Florida preaching to his church in a public school building that they rent, as many churches do, to use these facilities, preached what the Bible said, made clear that homosexual practice was not more evil than other things, that these are all things Jesus died for, made his views clear, explained why the president was wrong, and there was a concerted effort by the local government to get him booted out of the high school for preaching what the Bible says. That is the situation we are in today. I'm going to give some more examples of this in a moment. But Mike, you were basically told, other young people, fan members, others, messaging you back, basically telling you that this is not the place to address these issues. Was that it?
Yes.
What if you had addressed some other, what if you addressed the issue of, say, kids cutting themselves, and I know you're hurting, but this is a destructive thing to do, and don't say, hey, I'm a cutter for Jesus. Would that have been the right place to address it?
Absolutely.
Okay, what if some kids were struggling with a lot of promiscuity and just trying to find love? They're 15-year-old and been with 7 different sexual partners already, and you know, heterosexual sin, would it have been okay to address that there?
Absolutely.
Would you have lost sponsors over that?
You know, who knows?
But
I've said it before, and it never...
Right, never created the fire
started. Never created an issue, yeah.
Exactly. But this you can't address.
I guess.
This is the one thing that's off limits. So if it's not right to address it in social media to people who say, we're following you, we want to hear what you have to say. Look, you know, people who follow me on Twitter or something, or on Facebook, so I'm posting different quotes and comments that I assume they want to hear. In other words, they believe in who I am, and they read my books and listen to the radio program and so on. So I'm saying things to stir their hearts and to call them deeper, and because they're in harmony with me. So when you posted this, what were you thinking the results were going to be, the response when you put it up there?
The same as, I guess, ever before. And that's one of those things that, you know, it's almost unpredictable because it's something like social media. You know, there'll be more followers one day, people who, you know, you may not know or follow because, you know, for maybe some different reason other than, like you said, being in harmony with you, you know. Everything that I've posted, there's been some, you know, even in the past, you know, I've confronted homosexuality in the past, you know, and heterosexual sin in the past, because that's an enormous issue among my generation is heterosexual sin, that there becomes, you know, where many young men, you know, who are juniors in high school and have had, you know, 10 different sexual partners. And it's like that is a huge, an enormous issue. So the issue isn't just a man and a woman, but the issue is one man and one woman. That's God's design. And so we can confront all of these things, and we have in the past, and there's never been, you know, the explosion of it. And so
this is the one thing off limits. There's some questions that have been posted that I want to ask. By the way, Matt, you can tell me what you think of this. from Gene, Line of Fire is groovy and boss. And by the way, the word boss is back as per my 12-year-old grandson. Is that true? Boss is, but I didn't know that. Is boss back? I didn't know that Boss ever was, actually.
I guess I didn't know either.
All right, but I guess this is Boss. All right, I'm called Boss sometimes, but all right. Heidi in Salem, New Hampshire, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. What's on your heart today, Heidi?
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call, too. I've never listened to a station. I've never heard of you guys or anything like that. But just recently in the past, say, 6 months or so, I just recently found the Lord.
Really?
And
wonderful.
Active, yep. Thank you very much. Thank you, God, too. I actually have been an open lesbian for 25 plus years.
And really?
When I accepted the Lord, you know, he has worked with me, you know, and actually taken away that sin. I don't desire that anymore because, you know, when they say that the truth will set you free, it's a fact. I mean, God,
praise God.
Sin is sin. So if you're with another man or if you're with another woman, that is not God's plan. And
so Heidi, you were open lesbian 25 years. Were you out and proud about your lifestyle?
I was always proud of my lifestyle. I never, even though I was an open lesbian, I never believed in the sanctity of two women being married or two men being married. You know, I always believed that the sanctity of marriage would be between a man and a woman. And through the church that I'm in now, is, you know, I go to a woman's journey, which is now on Tuesday nights, and I go to Sunday church service, and the people are very welcoming. I'm not sure that they know if I was a lesbian or not, but
hey, listen, we all were something before Jesus saved us, and we all stand by his mercy and grace. So Heidi, you're saying that when Jesus came into your life and changed you, he's actually changed your desires. In other words, this is not something that you tried and tried and tried and thought about as much as that God has actually changed your very self. Is that what happened?
Yes, exactly. I mean, I have absolutely no desire to be with a woman ever. I mean, I have no desire. What I do have a desire for is to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
And, amen.
Praise God.
I mean, amen to that, because every single day, I mean, my life was so different and shallow and, you know, not worth much before. And now it's so welcoming and so, you know, I'm so happy.
Wonderful.
I'm so proud to be a Christian and, you know, trying to bring my family to God and stuff too. And,
well, Heidi, that is absolutely tremendous. Do you like to watch DVDs? Do you ever do that?
Yes, I do, yeah.
All right, tell you what, I want you to stay on hold, Heidi. Thank God for your testimony. And by the way, that's one reason I believe these things, is because everywhere I go, I run into people that have similar testimonies to Heidi. Heidi, I want to send you a DVD series that you'll find really helpful, sorting out biblical issues, talking about practical ways to address these issues. The series that we're offering this week called Can You Be Gay and Christian? So I just want to send that to you as a gift. And then once you get it, stay in touch with us. Let us know how you are doing. So stay right there. Andrew will be on with you in a moment. All right. We're going to answer these real quick, Mike, all right, because we've got a bunch of questions here. Jeremiah is wondering if you're on good terms with For Today and with Matty, or is there division?
We are on good terms. Me and him have been amazing friends for the last 5 years, since 2007 when he joined the band. And We are on good terms, and I've been honest with all of the guys in the band with how I feel, as though it was a reaction to the fear rather than a response to the will of God.
Got it. All right. So you've shared candidly, but you remain friends, which
absolutely.
Is all right. How does one go about finding spiritually sound musicians for a new Christian band? I was in a Christian band once and thought everyone was sound, only to find myself knee deep with people that were compromising and had weird doctrinal beliefs. So what's your short answer to that?
Awesome. There's no such thing as a true private faith. I mean, if they don't express their views publicly, that they don't truly believe them privately. And so I think that's a great test, is that if they're if you have to ask the question, hey, I'm not sure, are they a Christian band? They're probably not. And the reality is that they're probably not actually standing for those biblical truths, those foundational fundamental truths, if they're not bold enough or excited enough about them to talk about them in public.
All right, so if you just watch this person's life, and if they're not clearly standing up for Jesus and bold witnesses, then that's not the kind of person you want with that. All right, I'm going to give you a chance to think about this one, and we'll come back with the answer. Donnie and Amanda, I'm a huge fan of Christian metal music, but why do so many Christian metal groups have CD covers that look satanic or evil? Seeing the cover almost makes me not want to listen to the music. So you'll get to answer that on the other side of the break. My guest, Mike Reynolds, formerly with For Today, and with his young bride planning to go to the mission field.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, my guest, Mike Reynolds, formerly with the band For Today. There was a separation from the band that happened because of Mike's statements on Twitter and Facebook regarding homosexual practice, statements that we stand with and stand behind, especially as explained by Mike. Unfortunately, brought about a separation. Thankfully, these guys love the Lord and are friends today, and For Today is preaching Jesus. But we really need to pray because there's so much pressure to immediately compromise, back down. And when God laid it on my heart to get involved with this from the start, I knew it was coming. Contrary to when you posted being blindsided, Mike, I knew what was coming, but knew I had to speak and honor the Lord. 866-34-TRUTH. So we're just taking some questions that were posted on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. And Donnie and Amanda were wondering, as fans of Christian metal music, why do many of the Christian metal groups have CD covers that look satanic or evil?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the same thing. You could answer it with, why do so many churches preach a compromised message? Or why do so many churches, you know, spend so much in advertising or spend so much on the production and lights and fog? And it's really the same thing. It's because the message itself that they're preaching isn't powerful enough to draw people on its own, so they have to try and look like the world as much as possible. Now, I know some guys in some awesome bands who have covers on their records that look satanic, and that's like the farthest thing from their mind. They're not thinking like, if we compromise, you know, whatever, if we make things look as much like the world, you know, whatever. But really, I mean, I think if you get to the spirit of what's happening is that there's just a desire to look as much like the world as possible and still be called, you know, I'm a Christian metal musician, instead of you're either a Christian and that's everything, or you're a Christian plus something else, and that's a problem.
There was a band, I don't want to mention their name because I don't know what they did over the years and where they stand, if they're still around today, but they were a, quote, Christian band. You would not have known that at first glance seeing them, but the guys were known for wearing these really tight leather outfits. This is some years back. And one of them explained that they can't give an altar call because the ladies would come running up and try to grab them and all of this, so they wouldn't give an altar call. And, you know, some people like to say, hey, we can do this and we're Christian too. And there's certain things, fine, we got our dead traditions we need to break out of, but there are other things like, no, we don't prove to the world that we're Christian by sinning the way the world sins.
That's right.
All right, let's see. Okay, that question is probably not relevant. I'm going to skip that. We did ask this, but just for those that may have missed it, did you ever have the impression that your label or band members or the sponsors would have taken such action in terms of you speaking out normal Christian convictions? Has there been any flack? You lost the sponsor, Monster Energy. You lost your European booking agent and the merchandise folks there. Has there been any other flack, the Christian label you're with, any other things that have come up?
You know, I'm really not totally sure. As soon as I said that I wasn't going to delete anything, their communication with me was just kind of over. You know, that I wasn't hearing from the manager, I wasn't hearing from the record, I wasn't hearing from anybody after I refused to delete the stuff that I'd already said. And so they just kind of went to the rest of the guys in the band and to the rest of the, you know, the people involved and kind of, you know, talked with them. So apart from like Monster and the two European companies, I'm not really sure that there was any others.
Got it. And then Sean is wondering what God has next for you and Susanna.
Cool, man. We're going to keep doing what God has called us to, which is to preach the gospel, that the God of Mount Sinai became a man, and he died for the sins of the world. And that is it, period, is that God has made a way that we can actually rejoice that there is a way. We don't have to get caught up with being angry about there not being many ways. We can rejoice over the fact that there is a way, and it is found only in the person, the life, the sacrifice, and the resurrection of Jesus.
Wonderful. Amen. Amen. A musical question. A Christian guitarist, are there those that you've especially appreciated over the years?
Phil Kagi is a longtime favorite that I've listened to. You know, even his instrumental records I'll listen to in my own quiet time.
And Master and the Musician.
It's amazing, man. Yeah. Salvation Army Band is one of my favorite songs, you know, that he does. And
you've seen him do it live with all of the loops and everything. Yep.
An incredible musician.
Yep. All right. Well, good. I mean, that's the one that I grew up with in the Lord years back. See, when I got saved, the idea of Christian music, you know, electric guitars, rock or anything like that, that was off limits, you know, because I was just different. And for me, that was just the world. That was the power of it. And it was just the world. And I realized, okay, there are certain things themselves, sounds, music. William Booth, Salvation Army founder, used to say, you know, he said, every note belongs to God. If the devil has any of them, we'll take them back.
Amen.
Mike, just take 1 minute, because we're out of time here. 1 minute. Tell our listening audience the biggest need that you see in young people today.
Awesome. I'd say the biggest need is simply to be able to zoom out for a second from our circumstances and from what's going on in their lives, and to be able to zoom out and say, what is real? What is reality about what's going on right now? And really asking the question of, why am I here? Why is this happening to me? Where did I come from? And what is my purpose? Because unless we'll zoom out and ask those questions, we'll constantly be reacting to the circumstances. And that's the biggest issue, is that the people in my generation that I see that are most hurting are just reacting to the circumstances. They're calling themselves victims. They're getting so caught up in what has happened to them that they cannot actually ask the question of, why am I here? Why did God put me here? Who am I supposed to live for? Like, am I supposed to just live for myself and my own desires? Or am I supposed to live for something that's bigger than me? Am I supposed to know the God who made me? And that question is so fundamental to life, because when we ask that question, there is an answer for it. It's a good question to ask, because there's actually an answer that we can meet God through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, start with Him and everything falls into place. Start with ourselves.
It's just a mess.
We're in a mess. Hey, it's great to be with you. Mike, Susanna's been a silent contributor here with her smiles and nods. And I guess you think Mike did a good job today. All right, good job today, and there's 15 months of marriage behind it to back that statement. Friends, this is the day we live in today. If you stand for what's right, you're going to pay a price. But that's where we start. Jesus said, if you save your life, you lose it. If you lose your life for my sake and the gospel, you find it. But it's essential we know how to be equipped. Can we, on the one hand, resist the dangers of gay activism while truly loving people and reaching out with compassion? Can we combine grace and truth? I want to encourage you to take advantage of a special offer. I just decided to do something a little crazy today in terms of pricing and told our shipping department. They didn't fall over. So here's what we're doing. My 5 DVD series, which only sells for $60, Can You Be Gay and Christian?, which deals with biblical issues, deals with issues of intolerance, deals with how to minister to the gay and lesbian community, and includes a 2-hour debate with gay activist Harry Knox, who claims to be a born-again Christian as well. The 5 DVD series is only $60, plus my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. It was just on an earlier interview today, and they were telling everyone in America's got to get the book. Those resources with postage would be well over $90, $40 today, postage paid. But you need to call to order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. You can't order this online. This is just a special offer we're putting out today. 1-800-278-9978. And of course, if you didn't take advantage of the earlier special offer with Frank Viola's theography, Jesus, a Theography book, you can do that today as well. My bottom line, Jesus never said following him was a matter of convenience. Jesus said that we don't follow him when it's popular. We take up the cross, we follow him, we do what is right because he is God and because it's right. Well, when morals break down in society, there's only one group of people that can stand up and make a difference. God's people.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, first, really important announcement. Everyone in the greater Charlotte, North Carolina area, if you're within a few hours, you need to make your way out to our area if you can. Thursday night, where I'll be debating my friend and colleague, Dr. James White, on the subject of predestination and election. This is our first face-to-face debate on this. We've done it on the radio in the past. It'll be hosted at Southern Evangelical Seminary. Just $10 admission for the general public, $5 for students. So if you're a college or seminary student, you get in for just $5. This covers expenses, of course. For more info, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and just click on the itinerary or scroll down to the bottom of the page. And then Saturday night, a public dialogue. Professor James Tabor is the head of the religion department at University of North Carolina in Charlotte, UNC Charlotte, the author of a controversial book, Paul and Jesus. He and I are going to have a dialogue about that book Saturday night, 7 o'clock, followed by a dialogue between Dr. White and Shadid Lewis on the subject of, is Muhammad prophesied in the Bible? And then the four of us will interact with one another. Again, same admission price. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and just click on the itinerary, or again, scroll down to the bottom of the page. These are events you don't want to miss. There will not be a live webcast. We will, though, hopefully have the videos online as soon as possible after the debate. And we've got some real interesting issues to talk to about today on the broadcast. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. I wrote an article that was entitled, Is It Time to Throw in the Towel? I wrote this article, it came out on Monday in townhall.com, and it'll probably be coming up on some Christian websites today or tomorrow. And what I basically said in the article was this, as it's Wednesday and we're focusing on moral and cultural issues here on The Line of Fire. What I basically said in the article is this. You know, look, you've got Republican leaders like Newt Gingrich who say same-sex marriage is inevitable. You've got a family leader like David Blankenhorn who for years talked about the importance of fathers and the importance of families and then said, look, can't fight same-sex so-called marriage anymore. Let's work together and just try to help marriages, whether they're gay or straight. And then gay activists are basically saying, that's it. The opposition's withered. It's over. Throw in the towel. And I said, should we? Should we throw in the towel? And I said, what a ridiculous thought. Of course not. Why would we do that? And I explained that it doesn't matter how many things happen in society or what the president says or what Newt Gingrich said or what David Blankenhorn said or what gay activists said or what polls say. And I explained we do what's right because it's right. We do what's right because it's God-honoring and it's best for society. And we don't really care about what the polls say. That doesn't influence our views about what's right and wrong. And hey, if gay activists didn't throw in the towel when they were a despised minority, why should we as God's people throw in the towel? And even if society changes around us, I've been expecting that for a while. I've been expecting a lot of downward trends, but I believe God's going to turn the tide. Downward trends are going to pass as well. Well, interesting, this is getting blared out in gay headlines. Anti-gay radio host says gays have won. All right, have you heard about the potential boycott of DC Comics over, quote, an anti-gay Superman writer?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. No, 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 it's not time to throw in the towel and capitulate. It's, you ever see trash talk before a fight or a game? And athletes are saying, man, you're going to lose. No reason to even show up. You're going to lose. No, and on the one hand, it's done. It can be done playfully sometimes. On the other hand, it's done to intimidate. So, yeah, why even try to show up? I lost before I even started. All the people telling us the battle for this generation is over, throw in the towel, you've lost, the tide has turned. That's another form of intimidation, friends. And I've said for years that the unspoken mantra of gay activists has been, we will intimidate and we will manipulate until you capitulate. Why would we capitulate? Yeah, but look at what the polls say. It's becoming an unpopular position. Yeah, but you got the president of the United States and the administration against you. Yeah, well, the young people, younger generation, they don't see it your way. And? Can you tell me since when following Jesus was determined by popularity polls? Can you tell me at what point in history God said, hey, go with the flow of the crowd? Can you tell me when that happened? Can you tell me when the prophets took a poll from the people to see where they stood on an issue and then said, okay, this is how we'll preach? Come on. 866-348-7884. I'm going to tell you about what's happening with DC Comics in a moment. And then the second half hour of the broadcast, we're going to go over to Philadelphia and tell you what's happening there. But this is what I wrote in my article. The question being, is it time for biblical conservatives to throw in the towel? Yes, I'm fully aware that gay activists have declared that the national movement opposing same-sex marriage is done, and that, to quote pioneer gay journalist Mark Siegel, what's happening today is not, quote, a watershed, but a tidal wave. And longtime gay activist Cleve Jones has even stated that, quote, the opposition is just melting away. We have reached the hearts and minds of the American people, and there's no turning back the clock. Yes, he said, I'm kind of beside myself. I have to pinch myself sometimes. I never thought I'd live long enough to see this. Never, ever. Things are at the point now that just 2 weeks ago, Hank Plant wrote on sfgate.com, a San Francisco publication, I received a provocative email from a prominent gay journalist this week. It had two words. It's over. Well, is the battle for, quote, gay rights really over? Should conservatives who differ with these rights throw in the towel? After all, this would be the argument. There's no use wasting our time and energy and resources fighting against the inevitable. In fact, the longer we fight a losing battle, the more we make ourselves look irrelevant. So this is the strategy, right? Why not consolidate our losses and live to fight another day? I mean, surely there are other battles that deserve our attention. Why not throw in the towel when it comes to opposing the full acceptance of homosexual practice? This is what we're being told, friends. This is what's being urged on us. So I present four answers in my article, which you can read by going to charismanews.com. I just saw it posted there in the opinion column, charismanews.com. Click on opinion. I give four answers to these questions. Number one, for many years now, the unspoken mantra of gay activists, going back to the famous Zaps of the early 70s, has been, we will intimidate, we will manipulate until you capitulate. Today, when gay activists announce that we conservative believers are on the wrong side of history, it's just another form of intimidation. Sure, they're not telling us these things so as to help us. So in case it isn't clear, let me state it plainly. We will not be intimidated. Number two, we do what's right because it's right, not because it's pragmatic or popular. To quote Oregon Christian baker Aaron Klein, remember Aaron Klein, the Christian baker, there are other Aaron Kleins known in the media, but this is Aaron Klein, the Christian baker, who's in the media now because two lesbians wanted to hire him to bake a cake for their same-sex so-called marriage ceremony. And he politely declined, saying, I don't do that. I'm Christian. I'm sorry to have wasted your time. they decided to file a complaint because of a clause, Oregon in discrimination laws, that you can't discriminate based on sexual orientation. In his view, he has freedom of religion, which trumps that. Most of the time when these things have been going to court, or often, sexual rights trump religious rights. Aaron Klein said this, and I hear his business has been booming since he took the stand. Aaron Klein, I'd rather stand up for what I believe in and what I feel is right and get totally annihilated when it comes in the end than to bow down to this and say, go ahead. Because that sets the standard for the next one, the next one, and the next one. Exactly. If you capitulate in one thing, you're going to capitulate in the next. And before you know it, you're going to find yourself in complete compromise. And I quote the famous words of Dr. Martin Luther King, cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expediency asks the question, is it politic, meaning politically correct? But conscience asks the question, is it right? And there comes a time, King said, when one must take a position that is neither safe nor politic nor popular, but because conscience tells one it is right. Answer number three, polls and popularity trends do not determine what is morally right and wrong. One generation ago, sex out of wedlock was frowned upon. Today, it's accepted as a normal part of life. Matt, you sent me some stats on that. If you can dig them up in terms of where Americans view things, maybe a generation ago, sex out of wedlock, cohabitation, where they view things today. Polls have shifted dramatically. So does that make it right? I mean, the fact is a recent U.S. Census report indicates that being raised in a married family reduced a child's probability of living in poverty by about 82%. So who cares what the polls say? They're wrong. Popularity does not necessarily equate with morality. And only a fool makes moral choices based on the polls. And number four, I'm not in the least bit surprised by the victories of the, quote, gay revolution. In fact, when I first became involved in this specific aspect of the culture wars less than 9 years ago, I saw back then that our side had already lost the battle and that gay activism had won the day. It was 9 years ago. I saw that young people were so influenced, that the media was so influenced, this was so far entrenched in the schools, it had become so politically correct, businesses were behind this, that naturally speaking, we had lost the battle for this generation. That was clear before I started. So these recent developments don't faze or surprise me in the least. From day one, my trust was in God, not people, and that's where my trust remains. Attempts to redefine marriage and family and to normalize different sexual orientations may have their day, but that day will pass. So I wrote this, in the end, I can truly thank gay activists for helping us understand their world better, including the pain of bullying and the unique struggles they have endured, and for that I'm grateful. And I could admire their zeal and courage even while differing with their goals. But just as they didn't throw in the towel when they were a tiny, vilified minority, much less will we throw in the towel when their revolution seems to be winning the day. This, too, shall pass. I got a request to be on a radio show next week, very gay-friendly, gay-affirming radio show. I got a request to be on this show based on an article that's been written that says, you know, anti-gay radio host says gays have won. Read the whole article. Read the whole article, 866-34-TRUTH. ND in Richmond, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Shalom, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Thank you for all that you're standing up in truth.
You're very welcome, sir.
I just want to say that Goliath stood against Am Yisrael, and had all kinds of trash talk, and we know the outcome of that.
Yeah, talk about trash talk, right?
Right, that's what I'm saying. You know,
who are you? And he was intimidated. Now, of course, we understand that those in the gay and lesbian community, they would say that they have been the ones intimidated and bullied, and that society has been the Goliath. And in terms of perceptions a generation ago, or in recent, even you know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, I could understand the intimidation thing, but it's completely shifted now to the point that you don't dare express your difference with these things. Otherwise, the consequences will be severe.
Absolutely, but That's the way the enemy works. He twists it. turns it around. He says that we're the ones being persecuted. We're the ones that's just like Judas. He would have said, oh, you're persecuting me. Well, I don't think so. The word doesn't speak that.
Yeah.
So,
and just to jump in because we've got a break, but thank you for the call and bringing that point up. Look, as I said in the article, I'm indebted to gay activists who've helped me to understand who they are and their issues and struggles and society issues and mistreatment where it needs to be addressed and bullying in the schools. I appreciate that. I've learned, I've understood, but that doesn't change what Scripture says is right and wrong. That doesn't change what our role is as salt and light, does it? Of course not.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. If you haven't heard this story, it's remarkable. What can you say? I've been getting a lot of play in the media. I'll read to you from Todd Starnes, Fox News Radio. Gay rights activists are calling for DC Comics to fire the author of a new digital Superman project because he is opposed to gay marriage. No, I didn't make that up. No, I didn't pull that out of George Orwell's 1984 book and somehow change it. This is a comic book, right? Comic book series, digital, this will be now. Superman, this is not Gay Times or this is not the story of Harvey Milk, gay activist, okay? This is Superman. Superman is not gay. He's never been considered to be gay. He's never been portrayed as gay, to my knowledge, right? Superman. Here's a guy who's going to be writing the Superman story. Author of a new digital Superman project, he opposes gay marriage. And gay activists are calling for a boy. You are not allowed to differ. Do you understand, friends? I'm warning for a reason. You are not allowed to differ with these things, or there will be consequences. Orson Scott Card, a well-known science fiction author, is part of a team of writers and artists assembled by DC Comics to create Adventures of Superman. Card, who is a Mormon, is also an opponent of same-sex marriage. He once called gay marriage the end of democracy in America. Now, here's the thing, it's wild. He calls it the end of democracy in America, and now it's getting proven. It's getting proven out. I mean, look, it's just like with publishing my book. Come on. I knew that people would try to censor it and boycott it and stop it, and I had publishers say, yeah, I can't publish it because I'll get boycotted and there'll be all kinds of consequences. So then when we publish it ourselves, people say, oh, you see, the book was trash. No, the book was important. It is important. And the fact is, publishers were afraid to publish it because of the flack. That's the deal. So here, and he refers to this as the end of democracy, and now there's going to be a boycott for opposing gay marriage, having a writer opposing gay marriage. Amazing. He said, same-sex attraction is not a straitjacket. People's desires change over time. Gay people still have choices. A reproductive dysfunction like same-sex attraction is not a death sentence for your DNA or for your desire to have a family in which children grow up with male and female parents to appropriate gender roles, he wrote in an op-ed. This is not some fire-breathing homophobe wishing death on people he differs with. All Out Org have a petition signed by thousands, and if they don't, DC Comics doesn't drop him, here's the intimidation again, if DC Comics doesn't drop him, then they're calling for a boycott. He's written publicly, but he believes marriage equality would lead to the end of civilization. We need to let DC Comics know that they can't support Orson Scott Card, his work to keep LGBT people as second-class citizens. They know they're accountable to their fans. So if enough of us speak out now, they'll hear us loud and clear. Absolutely amazing. Oh, and look at this. Jono Jarrett of the Geeks Out fan group called the inclusion of Kara deeply disappointing. I thought they're inclusive. I thought inclusivity is the whole thing. Quote, Superman stands for truth, justice, and the American way. Orson Scott Card does not stand for any ideas of truth, justice, or the American way that I can subscribe to. Actor Michael Hartney wrote online that Card is an embarrassment to the company if this was a... listen to this quote. This is one of the more outrageous quotes that I've read in the midst of all kinds of outrageous nonsense. If this was a Holocaust denier or a white supremacist, there would be no question. Hiring that writer would be an embarrassment to your company. You're going to compare someone who opposes same-sex marriages and believes it would lead to a breakdown of civilization as we know it, breakdown of marriage and family as we know it, would open up the door to all kinds of other possibilities and so on and so forth, and would deprive kids of being raised by both a mom and a dad, that someone who holds to those views, as I hold to, as the vast majority of you listening hold to, is now being equated with a Holocaust denier or a white supremacist. National Organization of Marriage President Brian Brown told Fox News he was simply stunned that gay rights activists are trying to destroy a man's career. This is completely un-American, needs to be stopped. Simply because we stand up for traditional marriage, some people feel like it's okay to target us for intimidation and punishment. Marriage is the union of a man and woman. Brian Brown said that's not hateful, that's not bigoted. Friends, that's why I'm sounding the alarm. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me grab one call before our break. Lori in Fort Worth, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, yeah. Well, my thing is, and I've always thought this way, if God had wanted men to have sex and or women only with themselves, that's all he would have needed to create. But he didn't create just women or just men. He created a man and a wife, and he set down the laws as to how things should go correctly and why there'd be peace and happiness in a person's life. And I also don't believe that gays should have children because that's not the way God laid it down. And there's all kinds of complications and repercussions when you have a gay couple adopt a child. And not only that, that child had no choice. That child
did not choose. You know, Lori, just to jump in on one thing, you know, obviously our gay friends would agree and say that, yeah, you need it male, female for procreation, but having two men or two women doesn't start procreation, but it does violate the divine pattern and the obvious biological design. But there was a speaker who was an orphan at the event in France that took place where perhaps a million people protested the government wanting to redefine marriage. He'd been raised an orphan. He said, look, when his mother put him in an orphanage as a baby boy, as a little boy, the presumption was that kid would be adopted by a man and a woman. She could have raised the kid just as a single mom. She knew the obstacles. She didn't send the kid to adoption so he could potentially be adopted by two moms or two dads, no matter how devoted and loving they may be. That was not the parents' choice, and it certainly wasn't the kid's choice. Lori, thanks for weighing in. All right. We've done something outrageous today. One of these things where afterwards you say, what in the world do we do? My five DVD series, 10 hours, including a debate with gay activist Harry Knox, who claims to be a born-again Christian. Can you be gay and Christian? Detailed biblical material, how to minister to the homosexual community with compassion and truth. Really essential stuff. It normally sells for $60 for the series. Today, you can get that. Plus my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. With postage, it would be well over $90. Today, $40 postage paid. Take advantage of this special offer. You won't see it again for quite some time. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Oh, it's a great series to share with your whole church, your Bible study, your friends. 1-800-278-9978. We go to Philly next with some amazing developments. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Now, I know that many of you listen by podcast or online, and you are able to catch all 2 hours of programming. But many of you, I'm sure the majority of you, you're listening on your local radio station. And one of those stations is in Philadelphia, WFIL, our friends in Philly. And this is the half hour of the day when you hear me speaking to you live through your radio. You're driving in your car right now, nodding. You're sitting at your desk, nodding. Yep. So I want you to weigh in, because this story pertains to you directly. Over the years, friends, I had been concerned about issues of sexual immorality and breakdown of the family. For the first 30-something years of my life in the Lord and ministry, my focus was on heterosexual issues. As a heterosexual myself, the issues of adultery, the issues of fornication, the issues of lust, the issues of pornography, the issues of breakdown of marriage, you know, heterosexual no-fault divorce and all that, those things have been things I've addressed and preached about for years. It's only since 2004 that I began to focus on issues having to do with homosexuality, and that's because of gay activism knocking at our door. But the fact is, that is one of many issues we're facing in society, and our friends in Philadelphia are facing something new. 866-348-7884. Now, the first hour and a half of the broadcast, we have talked about issues having to do with homosexuality. We've talked about a Christian band member who basically had to separate prematurely from his band because of his public statements and social media about homosexuality. Too controversial, lost a sponsor and so on, sponsors because of this. Last half hour, I just spoke about DC Comics is facing a boycott because they hired a Mormon writer who opposed the same-sex so-called marriage to be part of the team writing Superman issues, Superman stories. You're not allowed to disagree. Now, you can call on that as well. But here's the Philly story. And if you're aware of this, I want you to weigh in. I'm looking at a billboard. It is for arrangementfinders.com. I haven't been to the website. I don't plan on going. I don't recommend you go unless you're just trying to see what the fuss is about. But it says, thou shalt, and the word not is crossed out, thou shalt not, crossed out, commit adultery. In other words, thou shalt commit adultery. There is another organization, what is it, Ashley Madison, and they encourage adultery. They are a website for married people to find other partners. This is a billboard in Philly saying, thou shalt commit adultery. Now you say, is it illegal to post it? Well, if it was illegal, it wouldn't have been posted, but there should be enough public outcry that no one would dare do that. 866-348-7884. If you're a pastor, leader in Philly, you've been involved in this issue, give us a call. If you're a concerned citizen in Philly, you can weigh in on this. Here is a report from PhillyNews.com by Jad Sliman. Close to a dozen ministers crowded the entrance to Steen Outdoor Advertising in Southwest Philly on Tuesday to protest a billboard that makes a cheeky edit to the Seventh Commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery, reads the ad, on Interstate 95 near Allegheny Avenue for an online adult sugar daddy mistress matching service with the not artfully crossed out. This is not just adultery. This is for young women, maybe college students. You need help to get through college. You get what's called a sugar daddy. Here's a man who basically pays you to be his personal escort and prostitute. Maybe pay you a few thousand dollars a month. That's what they do. Deborah Hamilton, head of sales and marketing at Steen, said that her company is just as upset as the demonstrators and that it can't review the content of the hundreds of contract ads that it runs.
It It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. Before I go to the phones, okay, Deborah Hamilton, who is head of sales and marketing at Steen, this is the billboard company, she said, we were led to believe that they were some kind of social networking dating site. She said Steen is a family company. Did they not see what it was going to say? Did they not see the ads? Even if they didn't know what arrangement finders want, did they not see thou shalt not commit adultery with not scratched out and a woman there with her finger over her mouth like, shh. A.J. Perkins, a marketing representative for the website arrangementfinders.com, finds it hard to believe. Quote, they actually own the sign. They approve what goes up. Otherwise, it would have been a lot more risque. Trust me. Perkins notes that the Toronto-based website is family-friendly. Oh, yeah, family-friendly. Right. Commit adultery. Commit adultery, sir. You're married, but you'd like some young girl on the side. Here, set this up. Family friendly. Oh, yeah. But his definition refers only to the fact that outright nudity is prohibited on the site. That's family friendly. I didn't go to the website. As I said, I'm not going, but the description says the homepage greets visitors with shapely lingerie-clad legs framing a would-be paying customer in the tagline, intimacy with a twist, and the S in twist is a dollar sign. A group of Port Richmond third graders from St. George Catholic School, which is close to the billboard near the Castor Avenue exit, protested the sign last week. Amazing. Amazing. Perkins said he couldn't speak to the future of the sign, but that it had triggered a 600% increase in members from the area over the past few weeks. That is America today. 866-34-TRUTH. And with inner cities of America so plagued by kids born out of wedlock, not plagued by kids, but plagued by the fact that they are born out of wedlock and that they are born without a dad caring for them and raising them. All you need, and with no-fault divorce so rampant in our culture and pornography addiction so rampant in our culture and the sexualizing of women, And they're just there for your gratification, and they've got to be airbrushed looking perfect on those magazine covers with the sexualization of women on top of it, and then all of the rape and violence against women as they're treated as sexual objects. Oh, yeah. All you need is billboards like this in the cities of America. Sarcasm fully intended. Larry in Philadelphia, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm on?
Yes, you are on, Larry. Thank you, sir.
Hi. Yes, thanks for taking my call. I just rode past the billboard in question maybe a couple of minutes ago. I drive past it occasionally throughout the week. And I guess the first time I saw it was a few weeks ago. And I did go to the website just out of curiosity because it was just so incredulous to see it. And it's more or less a dating service. It looks like for young professionals. But you know, it's enough. I mean, I wouldn't want to describe it any further, any more than that,
yeah,
but it's,
yeah,
you know, it's not at all wholesome, but it looks like it positions itself as a professional website for professionals rather to meet, who can't meet otherwise, you know, in social settings because of their supposed professionalism that, you know, precludes them from having a social life and being, you know, being seen in public and that kind of thing.
Yeah, in other words, adultery or a man who's 60 who's going to hire some 20-year-old college student to be with him. Are you hearing much about this? Is the sentiment against it building or things calming down?
Well, that was the reason I called. That you're really the only one that I've heard anywhere in this area. I don't hear it spoken about at all. It's really just, you know, I've not seen it on any local news. It hasn't been mentioned that I'm aware of in any of the media, you know, except for you. And it was just, I mean, it's just so it just slapped me right in the face that it was, that it's just so blatant, but it just looks like the new norm is that it's just seen as commonplace anymore, and that's really pathetic.
Yeah, it, and that's the thing, that the desensitizing, you just get used to things, you see them enough. We were going to have a guest on from a family coalition, but she wasn't able to join us. So I'll give some background of folks who are doing things. But I'm amazed, Larry, that this is not being reported everywhere, shouted from the rooftops all over the city. Thank you for the call, sir. 866-348-7884. We will go to Atlanta and our good friend Shirley in Atlanta. How you doing today?
Hi, Dr. Brown. Good, thank you. You know, in our God, I have a question to ask Christians. How much does this pornography and advertising like that affect your life? Because if our God, I would say it looks like it doesn't affect you at all. That's what I would say, because if it did, because see, the gay people are not who we're fighting. We're not fighting gay people. Most gay people don't want to see that garbage either. What we're fighting is an anti-Christ, anti-Israel media. And guess what, Dr. Brown? It would take 1 week to shut them down, says God. It would take 1 week. All you have to do is cut your television off the liberal media and cut your radio off liberal media, and in 1 week's time, you would see them turn around, because gay people are not involved in this assault against the church.
Hey, you know, Shirley, let me just jump in and say something. And obviously, you're going back to what we talked about in the last half hour, because the billboard ad has something to do with homosexuality, of course. But here's what's interesting, Shirley, when you talk about the media. And I have a whole chapter in A Queer Thing Happened to America about the media's celebration of queer. And for those that aren't aware, the word queer has been a mainstream accepted word in gay community for a long time, and in the secular community. I mean, a good decade or more of these things have just been mainstream. But here's the problem. You mentioned liberal media. A few years ago, I was watching a basketball game, playoff game, something, just decided to chill one night, watching a basketball game, and this dating ad comes on with some seductive-looking woman, and this is just a basketball game, right? Seductive-looking woman, and call this number. You know, okay, look away or turn to another channel. What in the world? Well, then a few minutes later, another ad comes on, and here's a guy. He called me. If you're the guy, it was a gay dating thing. This just during a sports ad, and I would imagine that if you watch some of the other networks, you got Fox News, which is conservative, but Fox Network is not some holy network. So it's the world. I agree, Shirley. Thanks for the call. It's the spirit of the world that we're up against, that we're dealing with. The problem is we're not that different. That's the big problem. Here, some stats. Thanks for digging these up for me, Matt. There's been a significant increase in the number of women presently cohabiting with a man. So a woman living together with a man out of wedlock was 3% in 1982 to 11% 2006-2010. Among women, 68% of unions formed in 1997 to 2001 began as a cohabitation rather than as a marriage. Between 1960 and 2010, the number of cohabiting couples increased 17-fold. Whoa. Friends, that's what we're talking about. And again, you look at fatherlessness in America. 1960, 8% of kids live without a father. 1995, this is across America, 23.4%. And it has jumped now radically from 1995 to 2010. I mean, the numbers are more and more staggering. This is an overall assault on morality and on family. That's what we're dealing with. 866-34-TRUTH. It comes from 1,000 different directions. And I want to say this last thing before we take a break. I have publicly, on many occasions, including international Christian television and in the presence of large numbers of lesbian and gay men and women, that no-fault heterosexual divorce in the church has done more to destroy marriage than all gay activists combined. The immorality, the fornication, the adultery, the pornography, the no-fault divorce among heterosexual professing Christians has done more to destroy marriage and family than all gay activists in America combined.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Okay, another reminder, if you live in the greater Charlotte area, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Southern Evangelical Seminary, I'll be debating my good friend and colleague, Dr. James White, on the subject of predestination election. It will not be live webcast. We do hope to have videos of the event online shortly thereafter. But I'm really looking forward to this. I believe it's going to be a great, great, edifying, eye-opening, helpful night that'll glorify God and get people more serious about the Word. It gives me an opportunity to differ with my friend Dr. White while honoring him as a colleague and co-worker. Then Saturday night, I'll be dialoguing with UNC professor James Tabor on his new book, Paul and Jesus. Highly controversial book. I profoundly differ with it. We're going to have a civil dialogue followed by a dialogue between Dr. White and Shadid Lewis, who is a Muslim who says he was a Christian before. He'll talk about what Muhammad prophesied in the Bible. That's 7 o'clock also. And then we'll have four-way interaction. That is 7 o'clock Thursday night, Saturday night, Southern Evangelical Seminary. For details to find out how to get there, what's going on, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on the itinerary, scroll down to the bottom of the page, click on the itinerary, you'll find the address and other information that you need. This whole sugar daddy thing is a phenomenon I started hearing about and then reading about because I wasn't familiar with it, hadn't heard it. But according to Brandon Wade, who is the founder of Seeking Arrangement, this pro-adultery site, quote, over the past few years, the number of college students using our site has exploded. Of the site's approximately 800,000 members, Wade estimates that 35% of students, college students, are one of the biggest segments of our sugar babies, and the numbers are growing all the time. So the sugar daddy is the guy who finances, you know, gives the girl maybe $2,000-$3,000 a month, and she's like his date, and they sleep together. Yeah, paid, just a long-term, ongoing prostitute. In turn, she gets the money and helps go to school with it. This is increasing. 21-year-old student said she receives a monthly allowance from a 37-year-old quote sugar daddy she met through online dating sites, so on, which helps rich men find young women who are looking to be supported financially in exchange for a company. She says her sugar daddy has been making her full tuition payments of $1,500 per month. Some receive as much as $4,200 a month for college expenses. Friends, we're in a very lost, confused, messed up generation. 866-34-TRUTH. Steve in Cary, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, hi. Just very briefly and quickly, I'd like to say that I think one of the biggest contributing factors to the problem that we have of fatherlessness in our society today are, well, actually two things. But militant feminism, feminism in particular, but militant feminism,
yeah,
which has downgraded and declassified men and marriage and has elevated women to something above men are, and this egalitarianism has gone out of control. The other thing that has contributed mostly to it, and Ronald Reagan regretted that he did this as governor of California, but
no
he signed into law in California, the no-fault marriage, and 80% of divorces today are filed by women. And sure, we've got bad men out there, no doubt about it. They need to be trained and taught in the church, but the women are the problem, and militant feminism is the problem.
Yeah, and let me jump in, Steve. I fully agree that, that militant radical feminism has been a massive problem. It's hurt women more than anybody. It's hurt men. It's hurt families. It degrades the woman's calling as a mother. It degrades the woman's calling as a wife. It degrades the uniqueness of a woman, that she can do things and be things a man could never be. I would absolutely not say that the problem in marriage is women filing for divorce, because there are all kinds of issues with men. And I just look at that overall as 50-50. The issue, of course, though, is the no-fault divorce that is rampant in our society. And yes, unfortunately, something that Ronald Reagan opened the door to. The whole issue of militant feminism is something else that needs to be discussed as well. And it really has hurt women more than anything. Tom in Jefferson, Iowa, we're a little short on time, but please jump right in.
I wanted to say there's a young man who was pushing for gay marriage in Iowa, and he because he was raised by two lesbians, he wasn't gay himself, and he bragged about how he was an Eagle Scout. Well, now he's going around in his Eagle Scout uniform trying to get gay scout leaders instituted. And, you know, I think it's just a testament that he's fighting so hard. He's not gay himself, but he's fighting so hard for these things. It almost seems to me like he's trying to get mom and mom's approval.
Well, you know, God knows what's going on. Of course, his story has gotten a lot of play. His testimony before the political officials in the state. But you know what it makes me think of, Tom? No one said that you're not going to have an Eagle Scout who's raised by two moms. No one said you won't have an accomplished kid who's raised by two moms. We simply say the kid deserves a dad. We simply say that that kid's never had a dad and doesn't know what it is to have a dad. And even when it comes time for him to be a dad, we'll have elements missing in his life because he didn't have a dad. So I'm glad he loves his two moms and his two moms love him. And I'm sure he's an exceptional kid in many ways. But what does that prove? What does that prove? If you get 10,000 kids raised in conservative Christian homes who stand for biblical values and they are accomplished and solid, and so does that prove the Bible's truth? Well, does it prove that same-sex households are the best because you have a kid that's an achieving kid? And who knows where he'd be if he had a dad? What kind of human being he'd be if he had a dad? But of course, this is big story and even best-selling book and all of that. All right, thank you for the call, Tom. I appreciate it. And perhaps your insight is right. God knows. Friends, we decided to do something extreme today on the radio show, an extreme resource offer. We're giving you $90 of resources with postage over $90 for $40 postage paid. It's my 10-hour DVD series on five DVDs. Can You Be Gay and Christian? Are we using the Bible to sanction anti-homosexual practice? How do you minister to the gay and lesbian community? Was Jesus tolerant? Even a two-hour debate with gay activist Harry Knox, who claims to be a born-again Christian, eye-opening stuff. That plus my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which of course is essential reading. Together, over $90 postage paid today, $40, and we'll pay the postage. But you've got to call to order, 1-800-278-9978. This is not available online. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. That's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, it is time for the people of God to be characterized by having hearts that are broken, but backbones of steel. Let us love and let us stand strong.